Blog Talk Radio.
Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Out of 106, 917,
106-917. I'll say around about 7. How about that, WCC? All right, good enough. You got the deck stacked, and that's a good thing. So we're going to see him bring the elder in, and we'll get him going on, and we'll get the special edition call Thursday evening going, and see what happens. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, "Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Yakwa bid you that seed rain."
Yakwa bless you, seed as well as seed oil. Hallelujah, Yakwa.
Hello, Yakwa there. Elder, WCC said they're going to stack the deck for a nice broadcast. So 195 international countries we know is in there. And 106-917 is the total attendance. So whatever you got to tell them, 195 international countries, 106-917 flashing. Take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And looks like we have another glorious number of people that came to hear the words of Yahweh. It appears to be the largest class ever. 106,917 people came to hear the words of Yahweh. And that's a good thing. Because we know we all have came to hear these things that most of us can hear, and some listening can never understand, and that's without proper teaching. To see those things in the Bible that most of us can see, some looking can never find. And I find that it's the misinformed that can do none of these things, and that's, again, without proper teaching. This is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous, because we have to be aware. By knowing the scriptures, we already are familiar with Yahweh's word, by knowing the scriptures, because here we rehearse the righteous act. We have many people out there that are self-taught, doing their own teaching, and that is a big no-no, because there's people out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching, and overly loud bump-the-gums contests to indicate this is righteous learning, even using Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. You know, this brings you into the things what Yahweh hates. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, 16 says, "The 6 things doeth the Yahweh hate, yea, even the 7 are an abomination unto him. 17, a proud look and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 18, a heart of mind that devilish wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running into mischief. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers or sisters." And I know many that are listening have seen many of these things just as I. To help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and wrong Christianity study, we're here to welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word, connecting the Bible books for your biblical education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you all have not. This is information that you came to seek. And now you found that what you have sought in Yahweh's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is from 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. And the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, type www.tribeyhdh.com. And after you click enter, just under the big line, you're going to see some choices. One of these will be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it says to all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give. What's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live? Also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to you and all of us throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and this will put you right into our live online broadcast. We're also using 2 email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH @gmail.com. This directs your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. Now, we also have some numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of 6 and 1 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our show, you can always catch the entire show recording at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, just choose the program you had missed or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, after the normal broadcast, we're also on Pal Talk, for those of you who know. We're listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Yahuwah True Name Teachers. This is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible questions. Online there to answer any questions on the discussed topics will be Elder Josiah or Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. No comments will be taken off topics or multiple text questions answered as I've seen before. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, either elder will block or restrict misuse. Questions off topic also can be answered by Elder Mr. Tibbs. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our program on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. We will turn our program back over to our Seer Israel. Keep your Bibles open. Our program is yet beginning to get interesting. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Tibb. That's excellent. Your part, special edition call Thursday evening. My, time flying. Just about time for another Sabbath day class again. So Yahuwah is making his move. According to this Bible, at the fullness of time, he's going to make his move at the fullness of time. And our job is just to tell you what he's saying on what we can read. And we'll go from there, just tell you what he's saying and go from there. So we're going to go straight on and get something going on and go find Brother Yahuwah Israel and get him to see if we can get something going on. But when you meet your brother, but aloud, boys, you say, Brother Yada Israel. Yahweh be with you there, see Israel.
Well, bless you, see Israel. See Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Brother Yada Israel. We can get something going on, because we left a couple pointers that we examined a little bit at less than last night. We left a couple pointers out, because we shot it from just as they put it on the table. But we did make a couple notes on that lesson from last night. But tell me something. Was you able to pull that book down on what we're looking for in the yet? Well, we'll get it sometime next week, that 1909 Bible Dictionary. Did you get a chance to pull anything down there on that Brother Yada Israel?
I need a name. It's quite a few 1909 Bible dictionaries, so I need a name.
All I know is a green book.
Pardon me?
That's okay. We got plenty of time to get it. I mean, when we do get at it, we definitely be having our hands around the throat of prophecy. Not that I'm no big hair to get to anything. I'm just getting to when we can walk into it real smooth. We'll talk about it eyeball to eyeball of what we're talking about, and then we'll get it prepared, and then once we get at it, we're just gonna get at it. But right now, let's see if we can get some loot. Chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Yada Israel. See if we can get a little bit of that going on. Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Mm-hmm. Excellent. "In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say." And we want to go back and examine a couple more statements that we took a shot at it yesterday. But I did, as we were looking at that lesson yesterday about Yada Israel, I made a couple notes about it afterwards and said, well, so it ain't no accident we was given that Genesis 4. 1-9, it wasn't no accident about it. So I guess I want to go back at that again, and I want to add a little bit more to that. So I did make some kind of note I made with it, but now here, look at me. I can't even find the note that I made with it. So that ain't going to work. So that ain't going to work. I made a note, and when I look for a note that I made on it, guess what happened? I can't find it. So now, that means one thing is not for me to deal with it at all. So I'm gonna leave it like it is on that. And we're just gonna go back and take a look at Numbers chapter 11. No, Numbers chapter 16. We will visit a little bit of this again, because I left a few things out in that too. Let's run back to Numbers chapter 16, 1-11. And I made a note on that too. That one got away from me too? Yeah. So that one got away from me too, huh? So I gotta leave that alone. I thought I had some notes on that, but it can't go that way neither. So what I need to do is just, let's open up in Psalms chapter 74, verse 4. So, I thought I had made some notes, Brother Yada Israel, but the notes, I can't find them. So it must be for class only. So we'll leave it like it is. Let's run to Psalms chapter 74, verse 4, and see what that says.
Book of Psalms 74, verse number 4 reads, Psalms 74, verse number 4. "Thine enemy Well, in the midst of your congregation, you set up there incense for a sin.
Read that again, Brother Yadav Israel.
The book of Psalm 74, verse number 4 reads, thine enemies were in the midst of your congregation. They set up their incense for a sin.
They set up their incense for signs. So the enemy will set up their incense for signs. And what else will they do? In 1 Maccabees 3:48, so your enemies, they'll set up ensigns for signs themselves. And what else will they do in 1 Maccabees 3:48?
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 48 reads, and they had opened the book of the Torah instructions, wherein the five sons of Esau, the heathen nation, and sought to paint the likeness of their images.
Uh-huh. So they'll set up an ensign. They'll bring their program in. And then they'll paint the likeness of themselves. And then give you a teaching. But he said, who will do that is your enemy. And just like we read now, so if you don't think this is an enemy, let's run back and read Deuteronomy 28. Let's run 28:68. So now we're going to show you what your enemy will do. Your enemy, this is what your enemy will do. In Deuteronomy 28:68, what do the Bible say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
We've got Deuteronomy 28. Verse number 68 reads, Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt, the land of bondage, again with ship, by the way whereof I spake unto you. You shall see it no more again, and there shall be sold unto your enemies, bond men, bond women, and no man shall buy you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking right into the Bible that most of the Christian church carries is the Holy Bible called the New International Version. And that same verse reads like this. There you will be offered, you will offer yourself for sale and your enemies, male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. Now, according to the New International Bible, they said that you offered yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. So you see that? So in the New International Version, that lets you know how your enemies operate. He look right at the truth, and that's why then he'll tell you in Ephesians 6, verse 5, what he say? What he say in 6, verse 5 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse number 5 reads, Ephesians 6, verse number 5, servant, be obedient to them that are your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling,
yeah,
singleness of mind.
Good. So you see you say, servants, obey your master. See, when you take that verse in that book called the New Living Bible, you're going to offer yourself for slaves. Then you let a preacher come behind that and say, servants, obey your master. Whether he say anything to you or not, you understand he calling you this. And by coming out that new world New International Bible Servants Obey Your Master. See, that's called propaganda. And that's the reason why we're in the condition we're in today, behind that kind of way right there. So that's how they take the Bible and bring in another Bible. So when you start reading Isaiah, so when you read Isaiah, you will not read this the way it is written. See, if they drop them two verses on you, then you will go to Isaiah, and they'll take you to Isaiah, and they'll read this to you. Isaiah what, 42 somewhere? Isaiah 49. Read the way you said that, brother Yahweh Israel. Verse 22 and 23. So, by reading that New International Bible, then reading Servants Obey Your Master, by the time you get to the 49th chapter, verse 22 and 23, you're totally lost. And you will say they came out of the Bible. Let's see what it says in Isaiah 49:22-23.
Book of Isaiah 49:22-23. Book of Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 22 reads, "The Savior Yahweh, though I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, set up my standard to the people. They shall bring your son in their arms, and your daughter shall be carried upon their shoulders." Verse 23, "The king shall be your nursing father, and their queen your nursing mother. They shall bow down to thee, their face toward the earth, and look up the dust of your feet. You shall know that I am Yahweh, for they shall not, for they shall not be ashamed, but wait for me."
But how will we as a people read that? So when we read, we already have been conditioned to being the slaves of the 17 nations of the world. So how do we read that verse? Do we read it with the understanding by taking that New Living Bible? And if I read that out the New Living Bible, you've been totally lost. If I read what you just got through reading by the Bible, and when your preacher tell you what book to go get, and you go get a New Living Bible, if I'd have read the same thing out of the New Living, Brother Yahweh Israel, you got a New Living Bible over there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Yeah, I pulled it up there, see?
You did? Read that same verse out of 49:20. Read the way you see it in Isaiah. In Isaiah 49:22-23. Let's see what that say.
Give me 1 second. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Okay. Okay, there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Go ahead. See, Isaiah 49, verse number 22 and 23. Let's see what it says. Isaiah 49, coming out of the New Living Bible. What do that say there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Well, let me see if I can get back there, Phil, because I peeped at the new Catholic Bible. New Translation.
Yeah.
49. All right.
So,
one second, I'm trying to get back to you.
Well, see, this is the kind of stuff that we basically deal with in class anyway, because, you know, it's amazing how we continue to let other nations dictate to us about how to, what books to use and everything. Now, I tell you what, we don't worry about it. We'll leave that to another time. But let's run back to Numbers chapter 15, 15 to 16. See, but what it's boiled down to is in Numbers 15, 15 to 16. Well, let's say that, Brother Yagdai Israel.
Numbers chapter 15, verse number 15 and 16 reads. Look at Numbers 15. Verse 15 reads. What ordinance shall be both for you as a congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Verse 16. One Torah instruction and one manner shall be for you, for the stranger that sojourneth with you.
Mm-hmm. So he let you know that you cannot continue to dance to the stranger's music. When you dance to the stranger's music, you be out of the will of the Almighty. He's telling you it's one way you do it, and that is the Bible way. So that's the key. The one way you do it is the Bible way. Now, by saying all that, Brother Yagdai Israel, when it comes down to praying, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Let's take a look at something in Nehemiah 1, verse 4. We're just going to throw a few things around there, Brother Yagdai. We're going to, like, spread it all around a little bit, then we'll clean it up in another setting. We'll clean up in another setting. But we're going to spread all a whole lot of stuff on the table. Let's see what it says in Nehemiah 1, verse 4.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse number 4 reads. Book of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed for Yahweh of heaven.
So Nehemiah said when he heard these certain words, he fasted and prayed to him from Yahweh. What do Nehemiah 2 verse 4 say?
Look at Nehemiah 2, verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, what does you make request? So I prayed to Yahweh of heaven.
You say? But what order? Do I got an order there, Brother Yahweh Israel? I mean, I might have didn't hear it the way I need to hear it. Did I have a, is this an order about that prayed to Yahweh? Is there order to it there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Nehemiah 2:4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I pray to Yahweh of heaven.
That's all you got out of that? Wait a minute. Seems like something missing there, Brother Yagdai Israel. Let me get a book. There's something missing out of that, Brother Yagdai Israel. Let me get me a book and peep at it. Because there's something missing out of that because I'm stuck. Let me go see if I find some Nehemiah. What that was, 2 verse 4. Mm-hmm. I'm stuck there, Brother Yagdai Israel. So I need to get me a little bit more out of Nehemiah. It's an order about something he did. I'm going to see if he'll do mine say an order. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 4. You're right, Brother Yagdai Israel. I'm missing something, but well, I don't know what I was looking at. But you're right. What do I say?
Book of Nehemiah.
Nehemiah 2:5.
The book of Nehemiah 2, verse number 5. I said unto the king, if it please the king, if your servant have found favor in your sight, thou wouldest send me unto Yahgar Judah, to the city of my father, the sepulchre, and I may build it.
I got stuck all around in that, so I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone because I was looking for a word to come out of that, Brother Yahgar Israel. And I don't know what I was looking at, but it was another word, and I got to circle what's supposed to come behind that word. But guess what? I don't have it. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to run back to that Genesis chapter 4 and look at verse 4 and 5. I'm all over the place right now, Brother Yahdai Israel. So I guess I'm all over the place. But when we stand back off of it, you're going to start seeing tired yourself in. Back to Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 4 and 5. Let's see if we get some precepts out of this right here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 and 5.
Book of Genesis chapter 4, verse number 4, verse number 5 each. Book of Genesis chapter 4, verse number 4. And Abel, he also brought up the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, yet not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed.
Now, we talked on that a little bit yesterday, that showing you that Cain brought what he wanted to bring, and Abel brought the firstling of his flock, of his offering. So we talked a little bit, but I want to go a little further on that with that understanding. I want to go just a little bit further. Let's run and take a peep at something that Brother Yahdai Israel. I want to go a little bit further, but I'm keep getting these telephones. I keep getting these messages across the network. It keep on distracting me, and these messages are telling me, you know, the reason we all here is to hear something totally different. Now, I understand you might be all here to hear one thing, but we can't just teach what you won't need to teach on. So I'm getting very distracted at Brother Yahdai Israel. I'm trying to bring some out on the table, and I'm getting distracted from all these memos coming on me right now. So what I might do, I'm going to see if I go another way on that. Now, what was the reason that he had no respect for Cain? He had no respect for what Cain brought. And did you read a word called a process of time there, Brother Yahdai Israel? Because I can't really see the screen from all the stuff that's written on top of it, in front of me, all the stuff I see on top of it. I can't really see exactly how you say it. Did you read anything about a process of time?
It's in verse 3.
And what And what did verse 3 say?
Book of Genesis 4, verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground and offered unto Yahweh.
So that process of time, in the book of Galatians, can you help me out, Brother Yahdai Israel? I'm all over the place. But in the book of Galatians, the process of time is something we can read in Galatians chapter 4. What do that mean, a one-liner? Can you help me out, Brother Yahdai Israel, as a one-liner in Galatians about what do the definition of a process of time? It's in Galatians chapter 4, a process of time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Verse 4.
The book of Galatians 4. The book of Galatians 4, verse number 4 reads. But when the fullness of time was come.
Oh, so he allowed you to, he allowed you to get it right. He just don't just zap you. He allowed you a process of time. He'll let you run. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, 7 there. He allow you. Galatians 5, verse 7.
Book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?
So you be running well, but then all of a sudden you stop running well and you will not do the truth. That's what he say. So I'm to Acts chapter 5. Let's look at verse 34. And Yahweh allow you something in 5:34. What will he allow you there, Brother Yahdai Israel, 5:34 of Acts?
Book of Acts chapter 5, verse number 34 reads. Acts 5, verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the Torah structure, and had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space.
That's right. So what Yahweh would do, he will allow you a little space. So he'll allow the six anointed camps to keep showing you over and over until Second Chronicles 14:16. He'll give you a little space. He'll give you some space. But then all of a sudden, in 2 Chronicles 14:36 says what? 2 Chronicles 36:16, right? Yeah, the last verse in 2 Chronicles.
Book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 36, verse number 16 reads, but they mocked the messenger of Yahweh and despised his words, misused his seal, to the wrath of Yahweh rose against his people, because there was no remedy.
There is no remedy. And what will Yahweh do in the seventh chapter? In the seventh chapter, we're just going to throw a lot of things on the table there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Because I don't know where this lesson going. I ain't got a hold to it myself. But We throwing some things on the table, and then at a process of time, we'll start reeling them in. In the seventh chapter of Genesis, he'll give you some space. He'll give you opportunity. And what he says in 7:16 of Genesis.
The book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse number 16, read. And they that went in male and female of all flesh. As Yahweh commanded them, as Yahweh shut them in.
And Yahweh shut them in. And Yahweh shut them in. So that means he gave you, he'll give you time before Yahweh gonna shut you in. He's giving you time, time. But sooner or later, Yahweh, at the process of time, he's going to shut you in, see, Royal. So, in Matthew 25, Brother Yahdai Israel, Matthew 25, verse 10 of Matthew.
Look at Matthew 25, verse number 10 reads. Look at Matthew 25, verse number 10. While they went to bat, the bridegroom came. They were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut.
And the door was shut. When by the time they got ready to come into the marriage, it was too late. He shut the door. By the time they figured out that, well, I think I need to, it was too late. Then the Almighty shut the door, saying it's too late. See, Ray, what you don't want to happen to you is you continue down the road that you on, and Yahweh shut the door, and then all of a sudden it come to you to do better, and he gonna say, it's too late. It's too late. Let's run back now, and get a little bit more out of Genesis chapter 4. Now we clear, no, we ain't clear yet, the difference between what Yahweh wants you to do and what Yahweh don't want you to do. He don't want you to never look at him as a afterthought. Look at him as an afterthought. In a process of time, he watched Cain do what he wants to do. And that, and until he ran to the bull, see, right? Because this man that we're dealing with is in 1 Corinthians. The man we're dealing with is a 1 Corinthians what, that Brother Yahdai Israel? The man we're dealing with is a 1 Corinthians guy. And we're going to get on prophecy once we get a full dose of that 1909 WCC. Once we get a full dose of that right there, then we're going to definitely take that prophecy. So it'll come up one day. Just keep on tuning in and jiggling the wives. Keep doing what you're doing. Now, in the book of Corinthians, there, Brother Yahdai Israel, 15:23. What did it say? 1 Corinthians 15:23.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse number 23 reads, "But every man in his own order, Yahuwah the Son, first fruit. Afterwards, they that are Yahuwah the Son, at his coming."
Yahuwah the Son, first fruit. And afterwards, Numbers 18:17. See, when you're dealing with this mighty one, he cannot be an afterthought in your mind. Suppose you be an afterthought in his mind. See, if you be an afterthought in his, suppose you be an afterthought in his mind at your time of need. See, once we really turn to this Bible, look what it says over here, and I won't take you this word we're getting ready to read, and I'm going to get the definition of that word. 18:17 of Numbers. What Numbers 18:17 say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse number 17 reads. Numbers 18, verse number 17. "But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are righteous. You shall sprinkle their blood upon the altar. You shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savior unto Yahuwah."
What do you mean by you cannot redeem your first? What that word mean, redeem? He said you cannot redeem the firstling that goes to Yahuwah. You cannot redeem it. What is the definition of redeem mean? What do you mean by your first, you cannot redeem it? What is he saying, Brother Yahdai Israel? What's the definition about redeem?
I'm looking at the online dictionary, Merriam-Webster dictionary. Redeem, to buy back.
To buy back, meaning the first, whatever it is, you cannot pull that back and say, well, after all this is taken care of, then I'll do that. He said you cannot do it. You can't redeem the firstling of whatever it is pertaining to going to Yahuwah. He said you cannot do it. So in a process of time, he gave Cain space to ask his brother, "Why Yahuwah ain't with me? He was told it. Well, see, the difference between what I do, whatever I got first, I make sure Yahuwah got it. You take care of other things, then you say, this goes to Yahuwah. He said you cannot redeem the firstling. That's why the word called first. Because Yahuwah just told you, he is the first. You can't redeem first. You can't say, well, I'll make sure you got second and third. But see, you can't do Yahuwah like that. That's the point we're making. He got to do Yahuwah first. So you see what I'm saying? So this will happen to Cain. Now let's go back to Cain again. Now let's go back and see what happened. Now let's read 4 verse 5 because we want to take it a little bit further. I added a little bit to it. It was very interesting when I was looking at it after we shot it from straight up yesterday. But we added a little bit more to it with a couple more precepts for this lesson of the special edition called Thursday Evening. What it says in Genesis 4 verse 5, one verse. Genesis 4, verse 5. of Yahweh Israel. Genesis 4, verse 5.
The book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse number 5 reads, book of Genesis 4, verse number 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed.
So Cain offering, he had no respect for it. He had no respect. Then Cain got mad because Yahweh did not accept what he was doing, and he gave him space. He gave him space. Now, we read about it over in Acts 5. Yahweh gave you space. What's the next verse say? 6.
Genesis 4, verse number 6. Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you wrong? And why is your countenance fallen? Verse 7. If you do it well, shall you not? Verse 7. If you do it well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do it not well, be alive at the door. That you shall be his delight, and you shall rule over him.
So if you don't get it right, he says sin lies at the door. You hear me say he gave him a little space? Let's run to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20-22. He said, sin lies at the door. The sin, and look what Yahweh says. He asked him a question. He said, Cain, why are you wrong? What's wrong? What's the matter? He said, if you do well, you accept it, Cain. All you got to do is do well. And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20.
The book of Revelation 3, verse number 20 reads, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them and will sup with them, and they with me.
So he says, the door is open. He said, he's there. All you got to do is ask a question, Cain. Your brother is there. All you got to do is ask the question. We're ready to find out why is Yahweh is not accepting you. And he said, he's there to answer your question, and your brother there to answer your question. That big dog see, right? So just like we, bosses of True Israelite, we here to show you Revelation 2, verse 5. We here to show you, but you have to ask the right questions, but we can go in the Bible and show you where you at. Revelation 2, verse 5.
Book of Revelation 2, verse number 5 reads, remember therefore from which you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. For else I will come unto you quickly, and remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent.
So, I'm kind of getting a hold to what we on now. So Yahweh, he's given us space to repent. He's given us space now to look into the Bible. Stop round tabling what you think and what you feel. Make sure what you're doing, the Bible supports it. So now let's go to sin lies at the door. Let me show you something about sin. Let's go to 2 Ezra 16, verse 49. Now this can be some gruesome words, so if you got any kids, we'll give you a minute to get them out of the room, a hole of ears or whatever. Got any kids on the network? kind of just we'll give you a minute before we reach the verse. Give you a minute before we reach the verse. We got in the little kids around before we read a Bible verse in 2 Ezra 16:49. They all right? WCC, we say, go ahead and reach the verse here. Oh, okay, all right. Let's go to second book of Ezra 16:49. What did it say there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Book of 2 Ezra 16:49 read, like as a whore, is a right, honest, and virtuous woman.
Read that again.
The book of 2 Ezra 16:49. Like as a whore, envious, a right, honest, and virtuous woman.
Oh, a whore. A whore do what again, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Envious, a right, honest, and virtuous woman.
One more time, Brother Yagdai Israel. Read it again.
The book of 2 Ezra 16:49. Like as a whore, envious, a right, honest, and virtuous woman.
Oh, yeah? So you saying a whore envy a righteous woman. What is a righteous woman now, Brother Yagdai Israel? Psalm 119:142-144. What do you mean by that? What is a righteous woman? A whore envy a righteous woman. A whore envy a righteous woman. We got to take a little look. We got to take another look at that a little bit more. What is a righteous woman?
Book of Psalm 119. 144.
What's that?
Book of Psalm 119:142 and 144 reads. Psalm 119:142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the Torah instruction is the truth. Verse 144. The righteousness of your covenant is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
A righteous, a whore hates a woman that keeps the Torah instruction. A whore hated. Who wrote that? Oh, Ezra? Oh, yeah, Ezra. Ezra, all right. Yeah, Ezra wrote that. So Ezra said, a whore hates a righteous woman. That big topic there. Now, let's go to the regular book of Ecclesiastes. And we'll look at 1 and 6. Let's see if we start tying this in now. A whore hates a righteous woman. A whore hates a woman that keeps the Torah instruction. A whore hated. That will be read out of 2 Ezra 16:49. Now I want to go a little further. Let's go to a regular book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 and 6.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Verse number 6 reads, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 1. Who is as a wise man or woman, who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Verse number 6. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, and for the misery of men is great upon him.
Yeah, I blew that, Brother Yagdai Israel. You know, Is that wisdom of Solomon? I don't know, because I'm just trying to go with the flow there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Can you help me out? It was a statement in there in last night's lesson pertaining to that, and I've got past me right now. So let me get a bob and peek. And if you can help me out, I'm quiet because I'm looking for a statement out of that, Brother Yahdai Israel, because I think I'm getting a hold to what I'm trying to get to. You got an idea of what we're working with, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Yeah, I think so, see.
All right, now. That's what I like. That's what I like to hear right there, Brother Yahdai Israel. That's what I like to hear right there. Huh?
Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5.
Okay, I know I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track. I'm just not stoking it like I need to stoke it there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What it says in verse 5.
Look at Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 5. So keep it the Torah instructions, to feel no evil things. A wise man and woman's mind could discern it both time and judgment.
That's excellent. That's excellent, Brother Yahdai Israel. But I need a little bit more. That's excellent right there. That'll work. But I need a little bit more. It was saying that it was saying something pertaining to the grade. I hate to say that much about the grade there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So he letting you know it's something about the grade. It came out last night lesson. And it was something about the grade. Can I help you out a little bit?
With the Song of Solomon?
Yeah, it was like 1 and 8. It was like 1 and 8. It's something pertaining to, I took notes on it from the lesson, but it seemed like to me every lesson that I taken notes on to go, it done got away from me. I can't find nothing I had, so I'm just going, letting it go. Oh, I throw enough out there and let it rock. That's all I can tell you. So, yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. That sounds more better. Let's run through that Wisdom of Solomon. No, Songs of Solomon. That's what it was, Brother Yahdai. Yes, so thank you. You're right again, Brother Yahdai Israel. Songs of Solomon. Let's run back to Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1 and 6. Songs of Solomon. Let's see. Now, see, can we tie that in from the Songs of Solomon? Because we're going somewhere, and we're going to try to get us a little lick in shortly. Try the Songs of Solomon there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Now, remember, we set it up on... read that verse again in 2 Ezra 16:49 one more time.
Book of 2 Ezra, chapter 16, verse number 49 reads. Book of 2 Ezra, chapter 16, verse number 49. 2 Ezra 16, verse 49. Like as a whore. If it a right and honest and virtuous woman.
So a whore envies a Torah-keeping woman. So a lot of time a Torah-keeping woman, sometimes you might not may understand why my friend don't like me as they once used to. Because when you make the separation and you start keeping that Torah instruction, start doing things that the Bible said, that going to bring out a spirit in them and they ain't going to be able to hide it. So you're going to recognize it might be a close one, like we read in last night's lesson, that Moses' nephews, they the one got them 250 men to go against Moses. That was Moses' nephews. So your greatest defeat going to come from within. So your closest to you ain't going to like you no more. Hey, you know why? Because you keep the Torah instruction. So sometimes you wonder why you always argue with somebody close to you. Because what we're trying to show you, but you have ease with yourself in this book, you're not going to come back to Genesis 3:14-15. See, how can we say this? That was the Bible said. We read what the Bible said in 2 Kings 16:49. A whore would envy a woman that keeps the Torah instructions. What that mean? That mean they might want to go and do some things of worldly, and you say, well, I don't do that no more. What you mean? You used to do that. You used to hang out with me. We used to go to the clubs and do all this and do all. I don't do it no more. So that same best friend of yours will start envying you, and you be trying to figure out, well, what happened? Why we brought up together? We real close. Why we always at each other's throat? He just told you why. Read that again one more time, Brother Yagdai Israel, and 2 Ezra. See, we got to show you how to keep peace in your mind. See, when you're keeping the Torah instruction, you're not going to be liked. When you're doing what the Bible is shown to do and you make your move according to the Bible, you're going to create enemies. It might be your neighbor. It might be someone close. Hold all that good stuff up. Let me show you. Here go right here. Let's go back to 16th chapter. See, again, we don't know how it was going. Ecky's left in the coat. We got nothing. We just going by the throat. Here's the point we making. Look what it says over here in the number 16:1-11. Listen to the tenor of the conversation. Numbers 16:1-11. Whatever we got, Brother Yagdai Israel, we'll come back to that if time permits us, or we'll take it later. But look what's written in Numbers 16:1-11. Listen at the closeness of the family that is going on. Listen at the conversation. Watch it. Paint its picture. And you got to catch it. 1-11, what it say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse number 1-11, read. Numbers 16, verse number 1. Now Korah, the son of Ezhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Verse number 2.
Hold that point.
Hold that point.
Back up to Exodus chapter 2 and read. You said son of Levi, right? Back up to Exodus chapter 2. Let me show you how close this thing is. See, this Bible got many things to say. We got to stop, have to go take a aspirin or a pill, because why are you acting like this with me? See, you got to have answers, but the Bible got all the answers. Why are you acting like this with me? Huh? He just told you. When you keep the Torah instruction, your closest one to you that is not of in what you're doing gonna despise you. Ain't gonna cause you trouble. And then you're gonna be sitting up many days, many years, many hours trying to figure out why. We trying to tell you why through the pages of the book. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, pick a verse 1 and 2. Listen to this again, Exodus 2, 1 and 2.
Book of Exodus 2, verse number 1 and 2 reads, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. There went out a man of the family of Levi to wife, a daughter of Levi. Verse 2. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
Good. Good. But we want to bring the point of man and woman of Levi. Now come back to the 16th chapter and let's hear it again. So this was a man and woman that produced the Levite family. Now in the 16th chapter, listen at the conversation you're getting ready to hear in 16 verse 1. By understand, this is not something like you elect somebody in. This is called 16 verse 1. Now let's read it again. With that understanding.
The book of Numbers 16, verse number 1 reads, Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan.
So you see how close it is? This is called blood on the first level. This conversation is a bloodline level. Can't get no closer than this. This is the family of Levi. The same thing we read in the second chapter. And as a process of time, the same family of Levi. What happened next? What happened next, Brother Yahdai Israel? What happened next? Now we on something.
And Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, son of Reuben, took men. Verse number 2. They rose up before Moses, the servant of the family of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Verse number 3.
Hold that part. Famous. 250 men out of the Leviticus priesthood. Every one of these people rose up against Moses was blood to the number one. These was bloodline nephews, uncles, mamas, daddies of the same bloodline family. The famous Levite, the one that was picked to be the priest. So we're talking 250 bloodline Levites rose up against Moses. Now look at that, see, right? Now, you know, that's enough to think about right there. Sometimes we wonder in our family, why we not close no more to, we can't get 10 words out there and we at each other. That's why you got to attend class and learn what Yahweh is showing you, because we don't need to be taking no kind of medicine and don't understand why this person is not like you, and they saying you're not like you used to be. You know, when we was growing up, me and you got along real good. Yeah, I know we got along real good. And I remember when me and you used to go into the watermelon pack and get out a couple watermelons and break out running. Yeah, I remember that. So You see how we used to be? Yeah, I know. But now, I'm a Yaqwali woman. I'm a Yaqwali man. I don't see things like that no more. I wish you all get some of the spirit in him. And then maybe we can find some old Prince and Joy. Used to be a restaurant called that a long time ago. I wonder who remember that restaurant, Prince and Joy. We got to be the shown people that if you automatically, if you're not a covenant keeper, the same friends is not going to be your friend anymore. They going to always find time. Oh, well, I hear somebody calling me. Because you know you're going to bring up that old book, you know, the good book, and they don't want to hear the good book. They want to hear about the time when we used to go to Joe Miles Lounge, you know, and do the breakdance. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? So with that understanding, we'll go back to the 11th chapter as we paint the picture. You can't get no closer than the 250 men of the priesthood going against Moses. Now listen to the conversation. What now paint the picture now. Let's go 3 down to verse 11. Let's see. Now listen to the conversation when Brother Yagdar kind of bring it on in from 3 to 11. Listen to the conversation right here. Come on.
Book of Numbers chapter 16, verse number 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Said unto them, you take too much upon you, since all the congregation are righteous, every one of them. Yahweh is among them. Before then, lift you up yourself above the congregation. Verse number 4. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Verse 5. He spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow, Yahweh will show who he is and who is righteous. He will cause them to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Verse number 6. This do, take you census, Korah and all his company. Verse 7. Put fire therein. Put incense in them before Yahweh tomorrow. It shall be that the man whom Yahweh doth choose, he shall be righteous. He shall be righteous. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Verse number 8. And Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, you sons of Levi. Verse number 9. Even it but a small thing unto you, the Yahweh of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the temple of Yahweh, to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Verse 10, and he had brought thee near to him, and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek you the priesthood also. Verse number 11. For which cause both you and all your company are gathered together against Yahweh. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him?
Ain't that something? You hear that? Back up and read verse 11 again. I'm going to back up. Read verse 11 again.
The book of Numbers 16, verse 11. For which cause both you and all your company are gathered together against Yahweh. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him?
He said, not only you gonna murmur against me, you're going to murmur against Aaron. He said, and who is these peoples again doing all this in verse 10? Well, who is these peoples murmuring against even Aaron? That's what Moses said. What did he say in verse 10?
And he had brought thee near to him, and all your brethren, the sons of Levi.
Levites. He says in verse 9. What did he say in verse 9?
Verse number 9. Seeing that but a small thing unto you, the Yahweh of Israel has separated you, congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the temple of Yahweh, to stand before the congregation, to minister unto them.
He said, this is not a small thing that he'll separate the Levites to take care of his business. And now you want to take the priesthood too? Levi? Verse 7.
Verse number 7. Put fire therein, and put incense in, and then before Yahweh tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom Yahweh does choose, he shall be righteous. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi.
Ain't that something? Now you see that's family member. All this is family member conversation, see, right? So sometimes when you go around your family, don't you go around your family and all of a sudden, you know, they won't talk about when you were a little buck and you be having that book in your hand, and they want to talk. Then all of a sudden you don't talk the right way, and then you find yourself separated from them, and they love it just as much as you separated from them, because you ain't the same person. Then you sit there and try to figure out what will happen. No, see, right? That's why you have to make sure you clear about this Bible. When you start being a Torah keeper, the Bible, it's going to be like a radiator detector. What do they call that thing? That magnifying detector. What do they call that thing? It's going to... Give me a word, Brother Yagda. What will it do? Give me a word, Brother Yagda, Israel.
It's going to sound an alarm.
Say what now? Give me a word.
It's
going to
sound the alarm.
It's going to... Exactly right. It's going to... And you be wondering, you know when you first meet your loved one, you get your hug and all that kind of stuff, then after 10 words later, you see you're not on the same page no more. They gonna have a big old hog head into the big grease. Hog head with spaghetti, macaroni, and all that good stuff, and grandma big old biscuits and all that stuff, and you know, shoot. Brains, have some brains, that the hog brains mixed in with the eggs, brains and eggs. Bubble, you remember when you loved the brains and eggs back? You remember this, Bubble? When I used to make you brains and eggs? Yeah, I remember, Grandma, but I don't eat brains and eggs no. What? You don't eat brains and eggs no more? You used to love brains and eggs. No, I don't want to eat no more hog brains mixed in with eggs. So you see, what we trying to tell you, see, that's why we come humble to tell you that your family members, it's going to be your greatest defeat, because what they remember you are most, you don't do that no more. Front of wisdom of Solomon chapter 2. Could come on in there, Brother Yahdai Israel. And we're going to spring you. We're just going to feel it around a little bit. Let's go to wisdom of Solomon chapter 2, verse 1. And skip down to 11 through 16. Let's see what it says. Let's tell you what, read verse 1 and see what verse 1, what would it do for you by reading Wisdom of Solomon 2:1. What would it do for you? And remember, the picture was painted coming out of Numbers chapter 16. Let's see what it says in 2 verse, and Wisdom of Solomon 2:1.
Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1 reads, For the Anyakwali see, reasoning with themselves, but not a right. Our life is short and tedious. Yeah. And in death
read that again. Read that again, Brother Yagdai. Now, reflect back to Numbers chapter, why, Brother Yagdai, reflect back to what happened in Numbers 16. You heard what they said to Moses, right? And Moses said, "Me, you don't even talk about Aaron, too?" So Solomon pulled that verse, and look what he said in 2 verse 1.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1. For the Anyakwali say, reasoning within themselves, but not aright.
You see that, dude? The 250 men of the Levite descent throw a reason into themselves. And they told Moses, "You take too much of yourself, Moses." But that wasn't right what they did, see, right? The Anyakwali did that. Although they was Levite, family members. But they was wrong for what they did. They reasoned into themselves. Now skip down to verse number 11. And 11 through 16. Now look, what, listen to this, 11 through 16.
Verse number 11. Let our strength be the law of justice, for that which is feeble is found to be nothing worth. Verse 12. And for let us lie in wait for the righteous, because he is not for our turn, and he is clean contrary to our doing. He upbraideth us with our offering, offending the Torah instruction, and objected to our infamy and transgression of our education. Verse 13, he professes to have the knowledge of Yahuwah. He calleth himself the child, the family of Yahuwah. Verse 14, he was made to reprove our thoughts. Verse 15, he is grievous unto us, even to behold, for his life is not like other men. His ways are of another fashion. Verse 16, we are esteemed of him as counterfeit. He abstaineth from our ways as from filthiness, pronounces the end of the just to be blessed, and making his boast that Yahuwah is his father.
Read verse 1 and 16, the closing statement, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Read verse 1, 2, and 16. Listen to this right here. Read verse 1, 2, and 16. Now, remember, and reflect back to number 16. Listen, and we'll close it out with this, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Wisdom of Solomon, 2, 1, 2, and 16, and we'll just leave it like that. We'll leave it on the table. You're on the clock, come on.
Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1, 2, and verse 16 reads, Book of Wisdom of Solomon 2, verse number 1. For the Anyakwali say, reason within themselves, but not aright. Our life is short and tedious, and in the death of man, there is no remedy. Yet was there any man known to have returned from the grave? Verse 2. For we are born at all as benches, and we shall be hereafter as though we had never been. For the breath in our nostrils is as smoke and a little spark in the movement of our mind. Verse 16, we are seen of him as counterfeit. He is standing from our ways as from filthiness. He pronounces the end of the just to be blessed and making his boast that Yahuwah is his father.
But he said when it's all said and done now, the end of the just, you're going to be blessed. I know the family members, they always go, they got reunions every year, every 2 years or whatever. But he's telling you one thing. If you hold on to the Bible, when it's all said and done, if you remain a Bible keeper, and begets. He said, when it's all said and done, you will receive the blessing. Now the man's saying, I know. We know reunions, family members, y'all can't sit eye to eye. Understand why you can't. Read that verse one more time, but see, that's a powerful word there. But you got to look at that word as a double meaning. In 2 Ezra 16:49, and we'll close out with that. So the word is a powerful word, but the word is saying, bottom line, when you is of the Bible and keeping the doing of the Bible, those who faking like they're on the Bible, y'all always going to be at each other. They're going to say, well, that's the way you, see, all that going to happen because of this right here. But that's a strong word that comes out the gate. So you got to balance the strong word and look what it says in 2 Ezra 16:49. And we'll close out with that. I mean, all I'm doing is repeating it. Remember, in 7:16, this is not my doctrine. I'm just only rehearsing what's written in the Bible. 2 Ezra 16:49. What it say?
Book of 2 Ezra 16:49. Like as a whore, it is a right, honest, and virtuous woman.
They envy a Torah-keeping person. Those they envy, they always would try to trap you up for you to get away from that to be with their old miserable self. But he said, if you hold on, you'll be blessed. As if you hold on. Now, I know you don't get the phone calls you once got. You don't get the invites, oh, we gonna all be at the park. But if you hold on, you got a blessing. But you can't go back and kick yourself and not know what'll happen. What'll happen is that was written in Genesis chapter 3. He put enmity between the just and the unjust. So you're not going to break what's written. So once you become just, the unjust will always, I got to put one more right about that, though, y'all can tell you, yes, sir. This Bible is the greatest piece of literature it is. When you is doing your part, and this happened to you, understand, it's already happened in advance. Let's go to the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Look at verse 8 and 9. See, this is how you operate. He'll help you if you do. Look what we got here. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8 and verse 9. Watch this.
Book of 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 8, verse number 9, read. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the sin displeased him. He said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000. What can he have more but the king? Verse number 9. Saul eyed David from that day and forward.
hey, what'd he do from that day forward, Bobby? I die as well. What'd he do?
Saul eyed David from that day forward.
You see, so you be wondering sometimes that you know you can feel it. They be eyeing you, boy. They be eyeing you. Look at that. They be putting an eye on you. And you be wanting to know what's happening. Here it is, here. They're going to eye you from that point on forever. They're going to eye you. There it is. So Saul thought I and David. But Saul was the king. Do you know what the king did in verse 11? That's why I say you got to be very careful now. So just don't follow up on things that's, you know, verse 11.
Verse number 11. Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I'll smite David even to the wall with it. David avoided out of his presence twice.
David was his armor bearer. David was the protection of it. He rather loses protection just to be in the flush to take a javelin and just take David and just take it. He'd have got more pleasure taking a javelin and just getting all close to David. And just running that javelin until the wall stops the blade. Now that's hatred. Boy, that's hatred. God, that's hateful. So let me tell you something. Understand this Bible is real. But we got that Israel. We leave it like that. Until we do eyeball, the top part of seven, it's just that fast. What you gotta say behind that? Come on.
Hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir. Love the way it's rolling out. Seer Israel, a seed royal. Great work, chief, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Excellent. So, the lesson is to try to tell you, once you become a Torah keeper, your closest blood family will put the eye on you. They eye you. When you come over, they don't feel the same way because they know somewhere in our conversation, you're going to bring up that Bible. Huh? We bring the elder for his closing statement. Remember one thing, that powerful broadcast coming on Pound Talk. With Elder Yosiah being Israel and adopted, the mother will be doing some powerful reading. So any question pertains to anything we have said, you can get the answer in that class, on the lesson. You got to hear the lesson. If you don't understand what we're saying, listen to learn. We bring the elder to tell you all details about it, and we'll come back and do some more on this broadcast. Elmer Stills, you on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Sierra, thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And also, we welcome and thank all of you for continuing to listen to our live broadcast that's coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's Word, connecting the books for your education, your health, and foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because you've knocked. This is information that you've all came to seek, and now you found out what you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is from 7:30 to 10:30 on Friday. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine right on the search line. Type www.tribeyhdh.com. And after you click on it, just under the big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. By clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, and bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check your calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. The calendar explains in biblical detail with scripture when they begin, what they're about, and when they end. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses for the listening members. The first is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL, also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we also have a few numbers that you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. Program time for being repeated will be after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. Once again, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, look for True Name Teachers. Just click the program that you have missed or any previous day that you would like to listen. We're also now, after the normal broadcast on Broad Talk, we're also on Pal Talk, as was mentioned earlier before. We're listed on Pal Talk under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Yahuwah True Name Teachers. This is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your education. Online there to answer any Bible questions about the discussed topics is either Elder Josiah, Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing shotgun. No comments will be taken off topics or multiple text questions answered. When these things are done, failure to follow the righteous act, either elder will block or restrict misuse. Remember that when you are the author of confusion, as said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 33, you don't want to be the author of confusion. Verse 33 says, for Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches or covenants of the saints. So at this time, we will turn our program back over to our Seer Israel. We got to get ready for that hot program on Pal Talk. So we'll pass our program back over and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder. That's exactly right. You know, one thing about it, it's a lot of information have to be got out. And there's no accident that out of Camp 2 is definitely putting it out there, the word. If you got any questions or comments behind it, you know, listen to the lesson, take notes. Take notes about the lesson. And if you got any questions, you can get them answered. But one thing about it, we're trying to let you understand something. The reason why your phone don't ring as much as it once rang before and all these things, and why you and your closest loved ones, your closest sister, brother, uncle, y'all can't get a good conversation going. We're trying to tell you now. It's written why. We'll tell you a little bit more. Go on at your network. I'm going to look for Mother G. Sister G. Israel. Look at Sister G. Israel and bring her in. And let's see if we get some verses on the table pertaining to whatever he gives us on the table. One thing about it, you know, once you really believe what you're reading in this Bible, and the Bible got all the answers, and you will see things more better, and you will sleep better when you meet your sister, Sister G. Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh be your Sister G. Israel, C. Royal.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, Seer Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's Sister G. Israel. I'm going to run back and peep at a statement out of the Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, 1, 2, and 6. Well, see, can we tie a little bit more in with that? Songs of Solomon. Regular book, chapter 8, 1, 2, and 6. What it says in Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, 1, 2, and 6. Sister G. Israel, you on the clock. Come on.
Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 1 through 2 and verse 6. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1. Oh, that you were as my brother, that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find you without, I would kiss you. Yes, I should not be despised. 2. I would leave you and bring you into my mother's house, who would instruct me, and I would cause you to drink the spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. 6. Set me as a seal upon your mind, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel, as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which has a most vehement flame.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, coals of fire, it holds that burning fire a long time. You know, when you're barbecuing and you got that coal, you can leave that coal out and you might even put water on it. It still got the burning. And that what he's saying, he was saying, my brother, I would have helped you, but you wouldn't come to me. Me and you both sucked the same breath. This is the Cain and Abel story that he was basically talking about. He said, but I would have helped you. I would have shown you why Yahweh is not working with you. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll pick it up at verse number 6. So he's saying, I would have helped you, but you got mad at me, 6-11. Let's see what it says.
Genesis chapter 4, verses 6-11. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? 7. If you doest well, shall you not be accepted? And if you doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. 9. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? 10. And he said, what hast you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. 11. And now are you cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand.
Mm-hmm. What it says again in Songs of Solomon 8, verse 1 and 6. What it says again is, now he got mad because Abel done it the way Yahweh wanted to be done. That he rose up, you know, and killed his brother. Mm. Psalms of Solomon 8, 1 and 6.
Song of Songs. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1 and 6. Oh, that you were as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find you without, I would kiss you. Yes, I should not be despised. 6. Set me as a seal upon your mind, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which has a most vehement flame.
So you see, by him not being accepted, he didn't want to seek information. He got rough at his brother, and the same thing will happen with one of your closest loved ones. They're going to get mad at you because you keeping the Bible, you keeping the Sabbath day, and they got other things on their mind. And then it's just like a coal of ashes burning. It just, they mind be burning against you. And they get real mad at you. They get mad at you, too, keeping this Bible. We read about when Moses told them, although we're not going to read, he told them, y'all like censors. Otherwise, make an offering. Let's see what Yahweh deal with your offering. Moses told him that. It's on campus. But they said, well, you take too much of yourself, Moses. We all got this thing, too. But Yahweh came behind that and told Amos about that, about when you doing things contrary to what Yahweh, what he thinks about it. Although you will do your own thing, that's what he think about it in Amos 5, verse 21, and skip down to 28 to 31. Amos 5, 21, 28 to 31 now.
Amos, chapter 5, verses 21 and 28 through 31. Amos, chapter 5, verse 21. I despise your feast, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. 28. Amos 5.
Mm-hmm. Is it 28 down?
There's no 28 through 31.
No 28 to 31, okay. Okay, that's good. So the bottom line, they say what they was going to do by trying to handcuff Moses and Aaron. But Yahweh says, when you do things out of the order of the Bible, he hates it. Let's see what Yahuwah says in number 16, verse 20, 21, and 41. Let's see what Yahuwah says. And see, this is what happened to Cain. He got mad at his brother, and his brother said, listen, brother, we both suck the same breath. I'm here to help you. But you didn't want to help the righteous way. You want to help the wicked way. See that? Let's see what happened and when Yahuwah in Numbers chapter 16, verse 20, 21, and 41 says what?
Numbers chapter 16, verses 20 through 21 and verse 41. Numbers chapter 16, verse 20. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, 21, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of Yahuwah.
Did you read verse 20 and 21? See what they do? They murmured and told Moses, Moses, you killed the people of Yahuwah. Come back and read verse 20 and 21. Number 16, verse 20 and 21. What did it say?
Verse 20, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, 21, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.
I want to run back on 16. I need me a little bit more. He said something else there. I need me a little bit more. Let me see if I put a little vibe on that. I need a little bit more. He said something else. So I need me a little bit more. What do he say is, and we read that. I need a little bit more. He said something else about this congregation. Well, maybe I'll pick up tomorrow then. But he said something else about this congregation. Besides, separate yourself from them. He made another statement there, Sister G. Israel. And I'm not seeing it right now. But he said something else about separate from them. I tell you what. Let's all run to Romans 16:17. And then maybe I'll give me a chance to peep and see something else he said. Let's run to Romans chapter 16, verse 17.
Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the teachings which you have learned, and avoid them.
So we see what Yahuwah is saying. When you have someone to go contrary, he said, mark them. Look at Yahuwah now. Now let's come back to that 16th chapter. And abort them. I know it might be closer to the old ones, but you, the only thing you're going to run into is trouble, because you're not going to see the eye to eye. And number 16, let's look at verse 23 down to verse 26. Number 16, we're going to bring Yahuwah back in the picture. Number chapter 16, verse 23 to 26. Let's see what he said there, Sister G. Israel.
Numbers chapter 16, verses 23 through 26. Numbers chapter 16, verse 23. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, 24, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. 25. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. 26. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins.
Ain't that something? But these was his family members. So Moses had to call the way it is. This was his family members. He said, separate from them wicked family members unless you're going to get caught up. And sometimes we make our decision based upon a family member, and you know that family member is wicked. There right there. All this is family member stuff right here. See? Family member stuff. And what happened? We told them separate. And skip down to verse 31. Get down to verse 31 to 35. Let me show you what happened. Let me show you what happened in this conversation. Pick at verse 31 down to verse 35. What happened there, Sister G. Israel?
31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. 32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. 33. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. 35. Fire from Yahuwah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
Ain't that something? And who were these 250 men in the 16th chapter? Verse 1 and 2? Who? No, 1, 2, and 3. Who was these 250 men that Yahuwah knocked them? Five out of them. Well, they really, literally the five. 16th chapter 1, 2, 3 of Numbers.
Verses 1 through 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are righteous, every one of them, and Yahuwah is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of Yahuwah.
And what happened in verse 12? Now watch this. Verse 12.
12. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abram and the son of Eliab, which said, we will not come up.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Family members, we will not come up. Now you see who lost their life? 250 family members lost their life. And Moses went to plead with them, say, listen. Say, we ain't listening to you, Moses. See? That same 250 lost their life. And get and then, but then you have the one that was caught up in the middle of it. Now, 250, they caused the problem all their life. But what happened in the 16th chapter, verse 49?
Verse 49.
Yeah, 16:49.
Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of course.
One man caused 14,000, the 250 kinfolks, to be killed. Then all the ones he was gathered together to listen to his folly, all them 14,000 lost their life because they forgot what was said in 7 verse 1 of Exodus. See, they forgot the 7 verse 1. You take too much of yourself, Moses. What was said in 7 verse 1 of Exodus?
Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. And Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made you a Yahweh to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your seer.
Yahweh said, I made Moses to be a Yahweh and Aaron to be your seer. Yahweh says, and that's the point we're making, C-Ray. You got to recognize when Yahweh have said something. And look what Yahweh says. Yahweh says something else. What did Yahweh say in verse of Exodus chapter 14, verse 26. Let's read a little bit down to verse 31. You know, it's like, in the 14th chapter of Exodus, verse 26 to 31, what did it say?
Exodus chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. Exodus, chapter 14, verse 26. And Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon Israel, upon their chariots and upon their horses. 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and Mizraim fled against it, and Yahweh overthrew Mizraim in the midst of the sea. 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. 30. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of Mizraim, and Israel saw Mizraim dead upon the seashore. 31. And Israel saw that great work which Yahweh did upon Mizraim, and the people feared Yahweh and believed Yahweh and his servant Moses.
Well, why would they say you take too much of yourself, Moses? Yahweh one put him in that position. Yahweh told Moses to stretch forth his hand, his staff, and do this. How did the kinfolk forget what they saw? Then tell Moses, you take too much. And not only that, what else did they do? Remember, we read earlier about the process of time. Not only that, let's run back to the 16th chapter of Numbers. Not only that, in 1641, what happened in 16, verse 41?
Numbers, chapter 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of Yahuwah.
Here it is. All that, and they murmured against Moses and Aaron. What Yahuwah do not like is a person that murmurs. He do not like that Syrian. Because he's making it plain to you in Acts chapter 5, 38 and 39. He's making it plain to you understand something. Acts chapter 5, 38, 39, what did he say?
Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. Acts chapter 5, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. 39. But if it be of Yahuwah, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against Yahuwah.
In Numbers 14, verse 2, what does it say?
Numbers, chapter 14, verse 2. Numbers, chapter 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Yahuwah that we had died in the land of Egypt, polluted from Israel, or would Yahuwah we had died in this wilderness?
Mm-hmm. Verse 10. 10 down to 12.
Verses 10 through 12. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the greatness of Yahuwah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. 11. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. 12. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of you a greater nation and mightier than they.
Mm. So you hear the man saying, let's go to wilderness of Solomon, chapter 2, 16 to 24. So you see, do you understand from the last day that you supposed to do? Never murmur or even receive a murmuring on any end. Because Yahuwah is displeased of a murmur or anybody entertaining murmuring. Because you got to see the bigger picture. See? Look what it says over in the wilderness of Solomon chapter 2, verse 16 to 24. Listen to this. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, 16 down to verse 24. Listen good. Come on, that's G, Israel.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 16 through 24. We are esteemed of him as counterfeits. He abstaineth from our ways as from filthiness. He pronounces the end of the just to be blessed, and maketh his boast that Yahweh is his father. 17. Let us see if his words be true, and let us prove what shall happen in the end of him. 18. For if the just man be the son of Yahweh, he will help him and deliver him from the hand of his enemies. 19. Let us examine him with despitefulness and torture, that we may know his meekness and prove his patience. 20. Let us condemn him with a shameful death, for by his own saying he shall be respected. 21. Such things they did imagine and were deceived, for their own wickedness has blinded them. 22. As for the mysteries of Yahweh, they knew them not, neither hoped they for the wages of righteousness, nor discerned a reward for blameless souls. 23. For Yahweh created man to be immortal and made him to be an image of his own eternity. 24. Nevertheless, through envy of the devil came death into the world, and they that do hold of his side do find it.
Read verse 24 again. What did it say in verse 24?
Nevertheless, through envy of the devil came death into the world, and they that do hold of his side do find it.
Ain't that something? I got to precept that. I got to precept that. Give me Matthew 10:36. I got to precept that and get a closing statement out to Sister G. Israel. That's excellent. But what it says in who are these enemies? Matthew 10:36.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household.
Ain't that something? The one that's going to give you your greatest grief is going to come from your bloodline. Your closest bloodline is going to be the one that gives you your greatest grief. Right there in 10. Read that again in 10:36. So when it happens to you now, understand that the Bible is right. You don't get all the trouble you want from your sister, your brother, your mama, your daddy, and your auntie or your niece or your nephew. That's going to be the one give you your greatest, let me go get my bottle and take a couple of these pills. Okay, Matthew 10:36. What is it saying, 10:36?
And a man's foes shall be they of his own household.
You see that? So you wonder why you can't never see eye to eye with your sister, why you can't never see eye to eye with your brother, your uncle anymore? Because Yahweh put, let's read it. Let's read what he did. Let's go to 3:14 and let's read to get our point, Genesis. Let me show you what Yahweh said he undid. See, if you believe the Bible, your comfort is understanding the Bible. Let's see what he says in 3:15. Figure 3:15. Genesis 3:15.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly.
That's it. I don't want 16. It's just 15. So it will be enmity between the just Torah keepers and the unjust murmurs and complainers, not Torah keepers. It always going to be that way until Yahweh tighten the gap up. So stop having the headaches when you and your loved ones can't get 10 words on the table before y'all, wow, 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 wow. It's already written in Genesis 3:15. If you gonna keep the Torah instructions, and one is not gonna keep the Torah instructions, and always got a comeback, there you go, Dan 3:15. And we'll close out with one verse. What Yahweh says in 8:36. And we'll catch you again tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. Sister G Israel. But what it say in the closing statement? 8:36 of Proverbs. What it say?
Proverbs chapter 8:36. Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death.
Ain't that something? He's saying when it's all said and done, you hate me when you're not keeping the Torah instruction. You hate me when you hate one of my little ones that's trying to keep the Torah instruction. So you hate Yahweh. So the arguments can deceit from your head if you understand your comfort is in the Bible. So the G Israel, your closing statement, will catch you at 7:30 tomorrow. You on the clock tomorrow.
Thank you, Seer Israel, for connecting the books. And Seed Royal, don't be in the congregation of the dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Excellent. That's Sister G Israel, C. Roy. We'll catch you tomorrow at 7:30 tomorrow for some more of BOTTY. Understand something, C. Roy. You can have less headaches if you just understand what we try to bring you in the sixth anointed camp, spirit led of Yahweh. You will never see eye to eye with a non-covenant keeper. You always going to be at it. Well, I'm gonna make me some macaroni regardless. We was raised up on macaroni and spaghetti. And you thought you ain't gonna eat it no more? What kind of stuff you doing, see that? That's what happens, see, right? Well, all we can do is come and tell you what the Bible says. Spirit led of Yahweh. You always gonna have trouble with ones that are non-covenant keeper. When you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother E, Mother Z, with a loud voice you say, Mother E, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be to that Mother E.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, of seeing you all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We read earlier in the Psalms of Solomon, we're not going to read, that jealousy is cruel than the grave. But understand somebody got the power to deal with the grave in St. John chapter 11. And on one, see, if jealousy is cruel than a grave, that's your final state. But guess who only one that can deal with that in the grave and can get you out of the grave? Let's run to St. John chapter 11, verse 41 through 44. Let's see who got the power that he can let you go get in the grave and tell you come out of the grave. And you won't hear nothing he got to say. Let's read about him. St. John 11, verse 41, 44. Let's read about him, Mother Eve. Come on.
St. John chapter 11, verses 41 to 44. Verse 41. Then they took away from the place where the dead was laid. And Yahweh lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank thee that thou hast heard me. 42. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which standeth by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothing, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Yahweh said unto them, I loose him and let him go.
And you mean you don't hear none this man got to say? This man, only one got the power. So he can let you die, be put in the ground. And this man got the power to come to the graveyard you at and say, graveyard, who that in that graveyard, come up out of there. And you mean you don't want to hear none of this man got to say all that power. Ain't nobody can do what this man do. You mean you don't want to do nothing this man tell you to do? This man done 4:16 of Luke. Why we don't like to do the 4:16 of Luke? This man that got the power over death said, Lazarus, you've been in that ground in that grave for 3 days and three nights and whatever. Come up out of there. Yeah. And everything was on him, fell off him. Look what this man do in 4:16 of the book of Luke. What did he do to that Mother Eve?
Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, the temple, on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read.
He went to the temple. He went to the temple on the Sabbath day. That's the man that got the power over death. He went to the temple on the Sabbath day. This man got the power over death. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5, Peter verse 25, and read down until we get our point. This man got the power over death, see, Roy. Do you want to do anything this man do? He went with all his power to the temple on a Sabbath day.
Jeremiah 5:25. Your sin have turned away these things, and your sin have withholden good things from you.
Read some more. He said, your sin have withheld good things from you. He's I'm holding it back because you sinning against me. You're not doing what I did. I had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead after he was wrapped up and held down for 3 days. He said, the reason why you so disembobulated in the brain, because you sinning against me. Give me a little more reading out of that, Mother E.
But Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 26. Well, among many people are found wicked men and women. They lay wait as he that set a snare. They set a trap. They catch men and women. Verse 27.
He said they wicked. They set a trap for you and they catch you. They'll tell you, why are you going to class? Why are you, what you mean you going to the Sabbath day class? They said trap for you. Wicked men. Wicked men and women will tell you about don't keep the Sabbath day. That's wicked. They said trap for you. And they catch you. What does it say that, Mother E?
Verse 27. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and wax rich. Verse 28.
Yeah. That's good. Now who are we talking about? What wicked men are we talking about would tell you, don't keep the Sabbath day. You ain't got to, we can do it ourselves. What wicked he talking about talk like that? Maccabees 1:11. See, sometimes, remember, we read in 10:36, your greatest enemy going to be those of your household, of your family. That going to be your number one problem, somebody real close to you, and they're gonna eye you too. Then when you come in and visit them, they're gonna eye you, put their eye on you, because they know you're gonna open that Bible up some kind of way. Maccabees 1:11, what it say?
Where's Maccabees?
Yes, ma'am.
1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 11. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men and women who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the nations that are round about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow.
See what's going to happen? Wicked men's going to tell you that. Wicked women's going to tell you that. They're going to say, let's go make a covenant with the nation. Mm-hmm. Let's keep Sunday. Let's keep birthdays, mm-hmm. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. Let's do all this good stuff. We done it once before. Why we can't do it now? What are they going to say?
Right.
Turn to our wisdom in chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Turn to wisdom of Solomon now, Mother E. When you look at chapter 5, 1 through 9, let's see what it says in wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, 1 through 9.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5. Verse 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. What that say, Mother E?
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Verse 1. Then shall the righteous man or woman stand in the great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him or her, and made no account of his labor. Verse 2, when they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be a maid at this sentence of his salvation. So far, beyond all that they look for. Verse 3. And they repented and groaned for anguish of spirit, shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometime in derision and a proverb of reproach. Verse 4. We fooled account his life madness and his end to be without honor. Verse 5. How is he numbered among the children of Yahweh? And his lot is among the saints, the 12 tribes of Israel. Therefore have we erred from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness has not shined unto us, and the sun of righteousness rose not upon us. Verse 7. We worry ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deserts where there lays no way out, no way. But as for the way of the Yahweh, we have not known. Verse 8. What has pride profit us? Or what good has riches of our vanity brought us? Verse 9. All those things are passed away like a shadow, and as a pot that hastes by.
What did they say there, Mother? What they saying? They said all the traps we on set. Mm-hmm. How did they figure this thing out? How did they figure it? We had them derision. We had them comfortable of doing everything for nothing. We had them down. We had them, and they have escaped from under our wickedness. How did they do it? We put millions and adults into propaganda, misteaching. How was they able to escape from under all that we done put up under? You know, that's what's going on now. Voices of the two Israelites have escaped out from under all the wickedness of the 17 nations. We got some 925 of St. John in us now, Mother. Mother E, right now we got some 925 of St. John in us now. And they're trying to figure out, how did they figure this thing out? How did they figure this out? 925 of St. John, what does it say?
St. John, chapter 9, verse 25. St. John, chapter 9, verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
See that? See that? Well, the six anointed camps are sinners or not. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Now, how did the six anointed camps remove the blindness, but you can say you see? What did they use? What did they use? From 29, verse 18 of Isaiah. Let's see, what did the six anointed camps use to remove the blindness from you? Let's see what it says. Let's see what it says there, Mother E. What happened? 29:18 of Isaiah.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness.
Ain't that something? Hey, Mother E, is that what we're doing? Is that what we're giving? We're giving them what? What are we giving them, Mother E?
The word. The book? The word of the book.
That's right, Mother E.
The word.
They trying to figure out right now, how did they get out from under all the propaganda? Because we finally can read the book. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, verse 1 and 10. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, verse 1 and 10. See, we finally can read this book. And all we telling you, C. Roy, your Sixth Anointed Council, come back to the book. Stop making decisions with your own mind. Make sure what decision you making, it applies with the book. That's all you got to do. Make sure you're not a murmur, complainer, and backbiter. Yahweh don't like that. He's going to get you for that. Process of time, he's going to get you for being a murmur, complainer, and backbiter. Stop that. Yahweh don't like it. He done already set the trap. It's already set. He got the peoples in place to get you to what you got to get to. Don't be like the kinfolks of Moses. All of them lost their life. 250. They lost their life for being a murmur, complainer, and backbiter. And they tried to kill Moses.
Mm-hmm.
They was wrong. Jeremiah 31, verse 1 and 10. Listen good.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 1 and verse 10. Verse 1, at the same time, said the Yahweh, will I be the Yahweh of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Verse 10, hear the words of Yahweh, O ye nation, and declare it in the Isles and far off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and teach him as a shepherd doeth his flock.
He said, tell the nation, the one that scattered Israel gonna be the one that gather Israel. All Israel got to do is come back to the book. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10. Now, Zephaniah pulled what Jeremiah said. Zephaniah pulled that verse. Zephaniah, way on the right side of the book. What does Zephaniah say in 320 there, Mother E? Yep, Zephaniah is right around Zechariah, Haggai. You got it. What it says over there in 3 verse 20?
Read
18 down to 20. Make it sound good. Pick up verse 18 down to verse 20. Listen to this.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. Verse 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for this Solomon assembly, who are of the to whom the report of it was a burden. Verse 19. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Verse 20, At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captive before your eyes, said the Yahweh.
Ain't that something? What is he saying there, Mother Eve? What is he just said? Read verse 18. No,
verse
17. 18. Read 17. Take it 17. Oh, okay. Read verse 17. Yeah, 17.
Verse 17. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 17. The Yahweh, your Yahweh, in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his blood. He will joy over thee with singing.
So he's saying, I'm going to do all these good things for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do these things for you. See? But you got to remember one thing in Ezekiel chapter 20. See, you got to remember what he got written. He said, I'm going to do all these things for you. Only if you will remember what I got written in Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 19 and 20. I got something written in Genesis chapter, read verse 4, then skip down to 19 and 20. Let's see what it says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4, 19 and 20. What does it say there, Mother Eve?
Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4, and verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4. Will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their father? Verse 19.
But hold that point, Mother. So who's supposed to do the judging in these days right now, according to verse 4?
Who's supposed to do the judging?
According to verse 4.
Son of man. The seal.
Excellent. So the seal's job is to judge you. The seal's job is to get the elders together to judge you and to tell you what he's saying in verse 19 and 20. So it's our job to judge you, to tell you that, hey, you ever take a look at verse 19 and 20? What do 19 and 20 say?
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 19. I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgment and do them. Verse 20. And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh.
So what is Yahweh saying there, Mother E?
The Sabbath.
So that's the only way he'll know you. Read 10 through 12 in the closing statement. Verse 10, 11, and 12 in the closing statement. So listen, Steve Roy. The only way Yahweh will know you when you keep his Sabbath day. If you don't keep the Sabbath day, he don't know you. Verse 10, 11 and 12, and the closing statement, come on.
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 10 to 12. Verse, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, house of bondage, and brought them into the wilderness. Verse 11, I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Verse 12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctified them.
Marie, again, what is Yahweh's sign?
The Sabbath.
So if you're not keeping the Sabbath, you do not have his sign. He don't know you, six anointed camps, if you're not keeping the Sabbath day. He only know you when he can see you in that number on the Sabbath day. That's when he know you. Until we do the eyeball to eyeball, what's your closing statement is behind that? Come on.
Thanking and praising Yahweh for the glass, thanking and praising Yahweh for the seal, and I want to read my Isaiah chapter 2. The book of Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Yahweh, Judah, and the southern kingdom. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow unto it. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh, to the temple of the Yahweh of Israel, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Yahweh Judah, the Ludic Zion, shall go forth the Torah instruction and the word of Yahweh from Yahweh Judah. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their sword unto plowshares, and their spear unto pruning hook. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation anymore. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they know war anymore. Verse 5, O banner of Israel, come ye, and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. That's Marie. Excellent again, Marie. Catch you in class. Yahweh be with you all. Shalom. Yeah. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.